Quarter to sing. I said, I don't sing for money, I sing for the Lord. So we have traveled singing years ago. Never did put a charge on singing. It's good to be here tonight. And Brother Donnelly is having some health problems, and I know kind of somewhat the health problems as far as walking and all, but let's pray for him. We really need to pray for your pastor that God will give him strength to get back, because I know he misses being here with you, and surely we miss him too. We was at a preacher's fellowship last Thursday. They called on him to preach, and he was all out there in the walking old chain, just to preaching. But anyway, somebody said he was going down to eat and fell down the ramp. I hadn't heard that. So anyway, we really need to pray for your pastor. I like to study scriptures. Turn to John chapter 3, John 3:16. You say, well, I've heard that 1,000 times, but folks, I don't believe you've ever heard this broke down like we're preaching on tonight. Years ago, I was at Sears, and we had this man to come in, and on your job's not really a place to, we know you stand for the Lord, you everywhere you go. But on the job, you know, we owe our employer 8 hours work. He's there. We need to work. So anyway, this one man came in, and I'm sitting over at the desk working. He come over to me, and he said, I don't know what happened, unless all this happened for God to give me a message that day that's really helped me and helped other people that I've preached it to about eternal security. There's a lot of people today is still not sure about their salvation. They're not sure about its eternal security. And this man come over and says, I know that you Baptists believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved, he said. But my mother, when she died, she's a great Christian, but she wasn't prayed up. So when the rapture comes, she won't go up. She won't go up in the rapture. So he kind of got me out on. He was out on a limb with me. I mean, you know, so I talked a little bit. So I went out on a job, and I was gone probably an hour or so, and come back. There he was again. Come back over there. And he said, "I upset you a while ago, didn't you?" I said, "No, you didn't upset me." I said, "But when you're talking about somebody else being perfect, walking upon the earth," I said, "you're way out there in the left field." I said, nobody ever walked on earth perfect except Jesus Christ. And so let's study this out tonight. And God gave me a message right there to that man, and I've used it many times. I've preached it. And the one good thing about the pastor's wife, they hear the message more than one time, you see. So that's why they can almost tell you what we're going to say a lot of time. But anyway, John 3:16, we're going to be studying that out. And God gave me this message. And again, I've told preachers, I've preached it different places. And so they said, Gil, I've never seen it like that before. So tonight, you are saved. You got eternal security. When you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as your personal Savior, he came in to stay there from then on. Now, he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So let's study this tonight. Would you, fathers, we come to these tonight, surely, Lord, we need prayer. Lord, we pray that you just reach down and touch us tonight, touch our lips, dear God. And surely, Lord, we know how the Bible says, where there's two or three gathered together in your name, you'll be in the midst. And Lord, we feel your presence here tonight. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the church here, Lord. I pray for the church. Pray for these people, dear God, and especially for the pastor, Lord, tonight. Surely we miss him. Father, as we study this out tonight, Lord, what a great message this is that you gave me that time, because that man came in, and I believe, Lord, that's why you let him come over, and he thought it was upsetting me, but Lord, you gave me this message, and Lord, what a message it is, and Lord, we want to just preach tonight, and Lord, to study this out, as these people see, Lord, when we get saved, we are saved. Lord, last night, we was on the TV, we watched the atheists, Lord, people that's been in church and studied the church and been pastors in the church, and all it was, they don't believe God, and Lord, they don't believe in Christianity. Father, I pray for those people one day. Lord, I believe this. I know when you get saved, we're eternally saved. And that's what the Bible's preaching. That's what we're going to preach tonight. And Lord, I pray when we leave here tonight, Lord, we say it was good to be in God's house. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now, I'm going to go slow tonight because I want you to turn to these scriptures, which will help you. John 3:16, and we're going to study this out tonight. And you just listen and just follow with me because this will be good. And when you get when we get through tonight, you say, I've never seen it like that before. But we prove eternal security. Now, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Now, who is God? He's the creator, great creator. He said that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son, only one son, Jesus Christ. I like that, whosoever, that means me. You can put your name in there, really, that whosoever believeth in him, here it is, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, who promised that? God promised that, you see, the creator, the great creator. Now, turn right on down to John 10:28. John 10:28. I study these out because these are very important verses for you. Will help you. John 10:28. Listen to what it says. You notice it says John 3:16 shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life. After we get saved, after we let his son Jesus come in and save our hearts and soul, he gives us eternal life. And we'll study those words out just a little bit. And they shall never perish. What did John 3:16 say? Who that believeth in him shall not perish. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall, listen what it said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now go on down to next verse, John 10:29. Read with me, listen to what it said. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. See that word there, greater? That means more powerful than all. Is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Folks, God is bigger than all. And now let's go down to John 10:30. What does it say? I and my Father are one. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, here it is, that cannot lie. Remember that God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. I'm going slow tonight. We're going to stir this out. When we get finished, you're going to enjoy the message and be settled once and for all on eternal security. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things, here it is, in which it was impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hopes and set before us. Now, let me ask you three questions. God gave me this when this man was there, and God gave me these three questions to ask this man. I had never thought about it, but God gave me that for that time, for that man. And let me give you the three questions now. Number one, can God lie? Can God lie? The answer would be no. Has God ever lied? The answer would be no. Will God ever lie? The answer is no, because I just read these scriptures that says it's impossible for God to lie. Now, Matthew 7:23. Turn there. This is a very important verse. Matthew 7:23. Listen what it says. A lot of people were going to come up one day and say, look, did we go to church? Did we pay our tithes? Weren't we faithful and all that? But let's see what Matthew 7:23 says. And here's what Jesus said to these people. Matthew 7:23. He said, and then will I, Jesus, God, profess unto them, here it is, I never knew you. Now, what did I read before? It's impossible for God to lie. Can God lie? The answer is no. Has God ever lied? The answer is no. Will God ever lie? The answer is no. Matthew 7:23, it says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, let me get down to ask you something. If a person could be saved and then lost and then saved and then lost, now there's our denomination teaching that today. Some of you probably have grown up maybe in family members sometimes. They could not believe eternal security. They said, well, that man, look what he done. Surely he's going to die and go to hell. But if a man is saved, if a woman is saved, if they've ever let Jesus Christ come in their heart, if they've ever asked for Jesus to come in their heart and save them, folks, they're saved eternally. Because John 3:16 said, if they believed on him, they'd have everlasting life. Am I right? So let's go on down. Now again, if a person could be saved, so I got saved here, but I did something here, now I'm lost. Now I got to ask forgiveness and get saved again. But now, wait a minute, something happened right here, I got lost again. There are people that teaches that today, and there are people that believes that. But let's see what the Bible says. When God says, I never knew you, wouldn't he be lying if he had known them at one time? Now, let's go through that again. They got saved here, they got lost. They got saved here and got lost, got saved here. Now, when he says, sorry, I never knew you, he'd have to be lying because he knew them back here when they got saved, right? So you see, once they knew them, they were his children, just like your child. I don't know your family is that much, but just like one of your children. Say you're one of their children, you love them to death, you love them, but they do something and breaks your heart, but they're still your child, aren't they? So you see, when we get saved, when he comes in our heart, we belong to him. Now, we haven't always lived like we should. I'd have to say I haven't lived, and probably you would say the same thing. Somewhere along the way, we haven't lived exactly like we should have as a Christian. We let God down. We let Jesus down. And so anyway, we were still his child, but we were disobedient, just like your children. What would you do when they misbehave? You told them, don't do this, don't do that. They do it again, do it over. What would you do? You spank them, whip them some way. And in fact, I always said my daddy had a black belt. He was a karate chopper, always kids said. He's got a black belt. Man, when we do something wrong, he whip us. But you know what? Why did he do that? Because he loved me. See, that's why God a lot of times sends us to the woodshed. He allows his children to go through some valleys or goes through some things that to bring us back to him, you see. We always belong to him. We always was his. He never disowned us. But it looked like a lot of time we disowned him, didn't it? But he never disowned us because I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come to my heart. Be my personal Savior. I accept you as my Savior. And when I was 12 years old, I got saved. I've done things and been that I wasn't doing what I should have done. That's where you and I, as children of God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We carry the Holy Spirit places that he doesn't want to go, but he's in our heart. When we get saved, you see, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us. So we cannot get rid of the Holy Spirit. He goes with us places. We grieve him, but we still belong to God. We're still a child of his, but sometimes we just need to, and sometimes God does take us to the woodshed. But we go back to this when he said, I never knew you, depart from me. If a person could get saved and lost and saved and lost, and if he could do that, which he can't, when he got saved right back here, meant Jesus knew him, right? So now if he got lost and got saved again, well, Jesus knew him again. No, it doesn't work that way. He said, I never knew you. He would have been lying. Now, let's go on. When God says, I never knew you, he would be lying if he had known them at one time or another. Now, if a person could be lost after he is saved, when he actually accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, her personal Savior, you are telling me, now here's what they say, well, they can get lost. They can get lost. Now, let me go through. What you're telling me, that God has lied and that the devil has more power than God. Now, if the devil, if a person could get lost, what's it telling me? If old Satan could get me after I'm saved, get me lost, that's telling me God is weaker than Satan, that Satan has more power than God. But you and I know that God has all power. So God, I'm glad he keeps me. I'm glad he loves me tonight. So you're telling me that God has lied and the devil has more power than God. Now let's study these words out a little bit. The word everlasting. The word everlasting. Now we talk about eternal security and we get that word eternal, but the word everlasting means lasting forever. When he says he gave me what? Should not perish but have everlasting life. That word everlasting, folks, it means lasting forever. Amen. Aren't you glad when you got saved? He just didn't save you tonight and you got lost the next day. I'm glad of that. Lasting forever means eternal. Also, it means never coming to an end. It means eternal. Endless duration, eternity. Now, eternal God, it means he had without beginning or end. Now, God did not have a beginning, and he does not have a end. He's everlasting. He means lasting forever. God has always been, he always will be, and there's nothing can separate you and I from the love of God, the Bible tells us. He's always existing, he lasts forever, he's ceaseless, endless. He's existing outside all relations of time, not subject to change. Time means nothing to God, you see. Now, time means something to you and I, but God doesn't live by time. God is time, if you look at it one way. God is there forever and ever and ever. Now, that word is security. It means from danger, risk, or et cetera. It means safety. Now, also it means freedom from care, anxiety, doubt. Protection. I'm glad that's protection. Aren't you glad that God protects you? Folks, let me say this. I've been close to death where somebody's maybe drawn a gun. I don't need to go all through these things. I was in business in Baltimore there. Supervisor of the chain of sporting goods outfit up there. And I've been close to death. Even somebody said, don't get on that phone. You want to make another phone call. So I know I've been there. But God, I was a child of the King, and God took care of me. I've been in bad accidents, and God brought me through. So, you see, when God saves you, you belong to him. We don't know how we're going to leave out this world. I don't know where I'll have a stroke, heart attack, accident. I don't know, but I know who knows. He knows how my life is going to end. Like when I pray, God, I know that you know how I'm going to end my life. I know that my last breath is in your hand. And folks, it is. He knows exactly when you and I and how we're going to end in this life here. Somebody said, well, how do you know? I don't know, but God knows. There's a song where he sang, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. I like them songs that you sung a while ago. It's all about Him tonight, isn't it? It's all about Him is why you and I are here tonight. It's all about because of Him is why you came to church tonight, right? Because you love Him. Folks, wouldn't it be good the church be filled tonight, the pews be filled? But you know, I was looking, my wife said, Gil, I want you to look at this. And if you might have looked at it last night, a program, I forget what was it, Atheists. I know a young preacher here in Danville, Virginia, breaks my heart. I'm not going to call a name, but this preacher, Brother Bill, probably know him. But now, he was a young preacher, went to Bible college. I've even had him preached up there at Bethel, good preacher. But all he wants, that young preacher has gone, he don't even believe in the thing in the Bible. It's true. He doesn't believe what the Bible teaches anything. That's sad. Broke my heart. Now, they was talking about atheists last night. You know that they don't believe in a God. These days, some of them have said he'd been a pastor. I'm talking about preaching from the Word, but all at once, he decided not to believe nothing. Folks, here's the sad thing. Now, let's say this. If they are saved, if they've ever been truly saved, they'll go to heaven. But you know what? They're going to lose their rewards. He says, I'll reward you by your works. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll go to church. You go to church. You keep coming to church. You're going to be blessed one day because you came to church. And a lot of people say, well, ain't big. Don't worry about the crowd. You know what, Brother Bill? You're not going to have to give account for Gil Hawks. I'm going to have to give myself account to God for myself, what I did. That's the same way with Brother Bill. He's going to have to give account for himself. His wife can't even give account. We can't give account for one another. It's personal. That's like when it gets saved. Wouldn't it be good if a preacher could get up and say, boy, I'm going to save every one of you folks tonight. Wouldn't it be good if they got saved? But it doesn't work that way. Things bothers me when I see on TV a mass of people saying to get saved. Folks, you cannot get saved unless the Holy Spirit draws you. If a person gets saved, truly saved, that means the Holy Spirit draws them. People today, a lot of time I know, going to one in Bible school, one of our teachers, he said he went to church one time with one of the chief teachers. Now I'm talking about, he said he's about 12 years old, 13 years old, and he went to church with one of his buddies, and they all was lined up on the front bench. And they gave an altar call, and this preacher said, come up here and sign this card here, and you'll be saved. So he said, well, I thought I was saved for years and years and years. All at once, you're not saved. I'm not saved. So a lot of people are sad when they say, well, didn't I go to church? Didn't I belong to that church? Didn't I do this? And when he looked and said, sorry, I never knew you. Because when he saves us, he writes our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, God doesn't have an eraser. He doesn't have an eraser, so He's not going to erase our names out. So once we're saved, we're saved. We're eternally saved. When He said, shall not perish when we believed on His Son, that means God can keep us no matter what goes on. This world is getting rough out here. Folks, I tell you the truth, there's very little good news. Most of it is bad news, isn't it? It's good news when you hear of somebody getting saved. A lot of times it's good news when you hear of someone having a little child. It's good news when you hear of somebody maybe getting married. But folks, really, it's a lot of bad news out there today. The devil is working hard. He knows the end, where he's going to end up. And you and I read the Bible. We know where he's going to end up. But I know one thing, I know where I'm going to end up when life is taken away here, because when I got saved, He said, I'll give you eternal life, you see, everlasting life. So He says, no way that any man, anyone can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No way that you can get unsaved. So when somebody says, you know what, that man over yonder, look what he's done. If he's saved, she's saved. If something should happen, they'll go to heaven because of eternal security. When God says, should not perish, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, none shall perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. You know, people say, well, you know, God will send you to hell. Can I say this? People chooses their destination. People chooses their own destination. They either reject the Son or they'll receive the Son. Now, rejection is what sends a man to hell. It's not that drinking. It's not even that murder out there. It's rejecting the Son of God. That's what sends a person to hell. Folks, we need to realize today that we serve a big God. We serve a God that can take care of you and take care of some of you. Might could stand up and testify where that you've been in a terrible car accident. I remember my wife years ago up there, and she might don't know how to tell me. I went out one morning and looked at her car, and I don't know why I looked at. But later on in the day, I got a call. She was in the hospital. And she said, "Gilbert, I've been in an accident, but I'm not hurt." She's in the hospital. And come to find out, she had jackknifed with a tractor trailer, 18-wheeler, and tore down 7 guardrails right down the middle of the road, lost her car and the tractor trailer. But she didn't get hurt. Very little she got hurt. And people said, "Surely you didn't come out of that wreck." She's not the one to come out of that wreck. And you know why she came out of it? Because of him. Because of him. And tonight we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to." And I know I turned around in the road going backwards about 500 feet. And still, when I started, the car was still going. I just gave it the gas, turned around. See, God takes care of his children. Amen? God will take care of you. You know that song, "God will take care of you." But anyway, the eternal security, if you're saved, if you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't worry about getting lost. But what we need to be concerned about, am I doing what God would have me to do? Am I really doing what I should do for the Lord? I know we all let him down. I've let him down. I pray at night, "God, forgive me for letting you down." You know, when I pray at night, and I might have said this, I don't remember what I preached on last night, but you know, what I need to do before I pray for you, pray for your pastor, I need to get my heart right with God to preach, to pray for Brother Bill or Brother Don. I need to ask God to forgive me of any sins in my life during the day myself so I can talk to him. Folks, a lot of times we break fellowship with God because of some kind of little sin. I know there's just some things may come in your life. You may say something, and we need to ask God to forgive me. And the Holy Spirit will put his finger on that sin, okay? A lot of times we say, "What have I done? What have I done?" You start praying, God, the Holy Spirit, he'll show you. Did you know the Holy Spirit is the power, that the one that you say, "Well, Jesus, well, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, there's three of the Godheads." I'm not trying to explain that right now, but the Holy Spirit, where is Jesus tonight? On the right hand of his Father, making intercession for you and I. So where's the Holy Spirit tonight? Right here. See, we brought God in with us tonight. We got the Holy Spirit in us tonight. When we get saved, he indwells. Again, we carry him places. He's not happy. He said, "Oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go." But you know what we do? We go ahead and do it. What do? We grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve him, rejecting the Holy Spirit. Sinners, people reject the Holy Spirit. But you and I can grieve him. We can make him weep because we're his children. And again, when your child does something and it doesn't please you, you grieve about it. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. But I'm so glad tonight I'm saved. So glad tonight. I know if I should die tonight, where I'd go. So, preacher, how you know? I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believed him. And he said I should never perish. And I'm going to be with him one day. I'm just waiting for the rapture to take place. If it doesn't take place, I go Brother Grabe, that's okay too. But I know when he calls, says, "Come up hither," Revelation 4:1. Say, when he comes up hither, folks, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to, you know, when the saints go marching in, a lot of these songs sing good, but you know what? It's going to be in such a, it's going to be so fast. A lot of people say, "I want to be out there at the grave with my daddy and mama, where they pass. Be there and watch them leave." Folks, you know, it's going to happen so fast, you're not going to be able. So it's just the main thing is make sure you're saved, make sure you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And if you do that, eternal security. God cannot lie. He never will lie. And folks, when you stand before him, you know he knows you are his child, but we're going to get rewarded by our works, what we've done for him. Folks, I pray many times, God, don't put me on the shelf. I've been sick, I've been down the death door, but still use me. I'm playing the bass guitar and sing, preach, playing the piano a little bit. I said, God, I want to be still used. I don't want to be just a lot of time. And I know I'm not as strong as I used to be. I realize that, but I'm glad that I have eternal security. I'm glad tonight I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm glad tonight he's still saving people, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you eternal security. And again, we don't have to worry about where we're going. What we have to be concerned about is my Lord satisfied with me. There's a song we used to play, is my Lord satisfied with me? I'm satisfied with him, but is he satisfied with me? It's good to be with you folks tonight. I pray that this has helped you tonight, because when people today can tell you things, and there's a lot of good people out there today has been misled, and that's why it's good to get the word and just study what the word means. And when it says everlasting, now you say, well, you got a building everlasting. No, not everlasting. You got a car everlasting. No, what you and I got tonight is salvation. It's everlasting. Brother Bill, you want me to go ahead and dismiss you? Want me to dismiss you? Yeah, what you want? It's your, I turn it back to you. You do what you usually do, okay? But I've enjoyed being with you folks tonight.